Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, hi, and welcome to another episode of Feel Good Habits Reloaded. And it's reloaded in this episode because after over 2 years of not having seen her, I saw your friend and mine, best-selling author and award-winning podcaster Lindsay Koch in the flesh for the first time in over 2 years. What an absolute treat. And she was one of the people that I asked to do the Feel Good Habits series, Feel Good Habits series when it started back in 2020. And regular listeners will know she's a friend of the show. She also has a podcast, Full Coverage. And she and I are very good friends, and she lives in Los Angeles. So we usually communicate via text, WhatsApp, whatever it might be, DM. And it's just been so lovely to see her in the flesh. And it's just such a reminder of what a brilliant human being she is. And so I thought, oh, isn't it so nice? And I shared a picture on Instagram and I thought, oh, I can share with you guys, my most excellent listeners, how excellent she is too, because she had brilliant feel good habits when she came on the show. So here they are. I'm revisiting them. They are reloaded. They are still absolutely flipping amazing. She's Lindsay Koch. I will put all the links to follow her and buy her books, etc., etc., in the show notes. But here she is sharing the feel good habits, her feel good habits on The Emma Gunn Show.
Lindsay Koch.
Oh my God, it's me.
It is you. How are you, my love?
I'm well. I'm fine. Thanks for asking. How are you?
Good.
Good. There we go.
The end.
I mean, I thought it was a scintillating chat from which many people will glean much information. So it works for me.
Yes. Efficiency. That's what we've achieved
here. The game.
I wanted you to be a part of Feel Good Habits because I think you make an excellent guest. You're also a good friend of mine. So, but you are a best-selling author of how many books now?
I want to say 15 adult books, 16th is coming out this summer, and 3 children's books now as well, because I'm coming for your kids. Like, it was not enough to take the adults. I want your kids. Wasn't enough adulation. I needed the love of children, so I wrote children's books.
I'm not sure about that pitch. I'm coming for your kids.
I don't know. I feel like there's plenty of parents that right now would be like, I've my kids, you know, at least for an afternoon. Take them off my hands. So that's what I'm doing. I'm coming for your kids in a very helpful way.
I'm coming for your kids, brackets. Don't be scared.
Well, yeah.
Tiny bit scared. So you're a best-selling author of 15 books and a 16th, which is coming out, which is In Case You Missed It.
It is,
Soon, which I can't wait to read. But then on top of that, you're also an award-winning podcaster.
Yes.
You, Full Coverage podcast, which has a back catalogue of many, many episodes.
Many.
Is a brilliant podcast. You also are a co-host of Tights and Fights, which is about all about wrestling, because that is your second love after your cats.
Yes. This is true.
I love wrestling. Many other things. And so you are self-employed. You used to, and we can, you've been on the show before, so people who've listened before will know, but you used to work at a publishing house.
Yes.
And then you just, then you started writing books. And I think that the art of being in your own space and in your own head and writing a book requires a heck of a lot of discipline and, you guessed it, some pretty good habits.
Yes. Oh, good work. Well done. It's almost like this is your job. Well done. You're so good at it.
It wasn't like I thought about it.
I was very impressed. Yeah, I have worked from home for myself for 10 years this year, which is wild. Yeah, thank you. I remember making the call to do it and it being absolutely petrifying, because I have no self-discipline and I have very little willpower and I am absolutely terrible at doing anything other than lying on the settee and watching telly. That's my favourite thing. And it was a genuine concern, but I have somehow pulled it off. So I'm going to share that.
Okay, Lindsay, I'm going to stop you there. Somehow pulled it off. Not once, not twice, 16 plus three times. So like
16 plus three.
Yeah. Head in order, mate.
No, it's true. I'm very bad at giving myself credit for things. And I know that. But it is still the biggest struggle for me is the discipline side of it. And I talk about this all the time. Whenever people ask me about writing, and lots of people are asking me about writing at the moment, I think a lot of people are blessed with a gift of time. And they are thinking, maybe I'll sit down and write that book I've been thinking about, which is fantastic. Absolutely do that if it helps you. Do anything. I've been writing helps people in millions of ways through millions of things. But the hardest part of writing for me is sitting down and writing. It's just putting yourself in a chair, staying in that chair and staring at a blank page until there are words on it. Obviously, there's some typing involved. They don't just telepathically transfer from your brain to the page. But that's the hardest part.
Yeah. So what has been, if you think about 10 years ago, I was so jealous that you've got a cup of tea.
I feel terrible about the whole thing, but it's delicious.
Listeners, we're on video call and I just said to Lindsay when we started, really fancy a sweet cup of tea, and she just produced a mug of tea.
Yeah.
So, yeah, day one of 10 years ago when you started, did you set wildly ridiculous goals for yourself that you subsequently failed at and learned from?
Do you know, I didn't. And I think one of the reasons... I don't know if this is good or bad. I'm trying to process this as I'm talking about it. When I first went freelance or to work for myself, when I left my full-time job to write full-time, I was living in New York and I'd been in New York for about 10 months, maybe a year at that point. And I had spent that entire first year in New York working a full-time job and writing books. As you can imagine, I was 28. There were other things I wanted to do other than work. So I really had spent that whole first year burning the candle from both ends and straight up the middle. Like, I was so unwell because I was trying to work a full-time corporate job in New York, which is intense, regardless of the subject. I was working children's books, but you would have thought we were literally a brain trust of some. It was insane, the level of pressure and the seriousness with which these people took their jobs, which, you know, you should take your job seriously, but come on, it's kids' books. There were no larks to be had. So it was a lot. And then I was going home and writing my novels, and I was still brand new. I'd only written one book. So I was still learning how to be a writer and writing, you know, difficult second album, she says in inverted commas. So it was really, really a tough time for me professionally. But I was also in New York. I didn't know how long I'd be there. I was single. I wanted to get out there. I wanted to date. I wanted to see the city. I wanted to experience life. So I did all those things with a mild case of alcohol poisoning once or twice, which I don't recommend. But that meant when I finally left my job to write full time, I really gave myself a lot of slack at the very beginning because I had cut myself off from so many things. Mm-hmm. That was like, you know, now's your chance to actually get out there, do some stuff, have some fun, and make your schedule work. So while it was very much within me, my Yorkshire upbringing, to just knuckle down, like literally when I graduated, I started my first job 4 days later. Like I did not There was no time off. I literally never had any time off. I always worked, always had a job, worked all through uni, you know, like just, it was always ingrained in me that you work. So for the first time when I had the chance to say, actually, maybe that hasn't served you tremendously well throughout your 20s, and maybe having a minute off might have helped you be a more well-rounded and happier person. So I definitely took the first 6 months pretty steady, but I just made sure I always got everything done. I think you can be, this is the thing with work from home that people are, it's a misconception, I think, that people think, oh, you're just going to sit around and do nothing. Yes, I would like to do that. But ultimately, my biggest problem is doing too much. I think when you work from home all the time, or once you get into the flow of working from home, the concern is you don't know how to switch off anymore. And you can end up working too hard, or you can end up putting too much of your energy and too much of your focus. Because when your office is just your brain, it's really hard to walk away from it. Because how do you leave work when you are the work? Like your brain is the work. You, wherever you are, is work. So I think it can be really hard to switch off. And that's the thing that I've had to learn, is how to switch off.
Right. That's really interesting. I'd never, that took me a really long time to figure out that sometimes actually loosening my grip on everything and thinking about something that wasn't work didn't mean that I wasn't committed and didn't mean that I wasn't making progress.
Yeah. So, because that's how I was very much raised, and that's how I approached my career right up until I left my job to work. That's why I worked full time for 2 years after getting my book deal, because to me, you were supposed to, you know, I mean, yes, when you get a book deal, it's a very specific thing. You're not supposed to leave your job right away, unless you're getting like a ridiculous $1 billion book deal, which no one is anymore, by the way, ever. But yeah, it's,
this is a real sore point for you. You've mentioned this a lot during our time together.
People think authors are very, 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 very rich, and authors are not very, very, very rich, and will continue now to become much less rich because the value of books goes down every day. But that's another discussion for another time. Please buy books. I just think I was definitely someone who was inclined to believe that unless I was sat in an office doing something I didn't especially enjoy, it didn't really have to be an office. It just had to be, work was supposed to be a slog. Work was supposed to be something that you did because you had to, not because you wanted to. I don't really know why I believed that, but I did. I guess I'd just been trained to believe that. You know, no one in my family loved their jobs. They just had jobs that they worked very hard at because that's what you were supposed to do. I did that at school. I worked very hard because you were supposed to. And then I got a job. I worked very hard because you were supposed to. I didn't know there was a different version of that where you can still work very hard, but actually have a life as well. And maybe your job and your version of working very hard doesn't look exactly like your parents' version of working very hard or your siblings' version of working very hard. There are very different models of what being good at your job looks like.
I think that was one thing that really surprised me when I went from having been in magazines for such a long time to then being freelance. If you have a productive 4 hours at your home office, that can be the equivalent of a full day or 2 days in a busy office where there are meetings and pointless emails and various other obstacles to actually getting your work done. And that was such a shock.
Yeah, absolutely. And same for me, because when I'm writing, I write much better at night. So my creative part of my brain, whatever, for whatever reason, switches on sort of later afternoon into the evening. And when I lived on my own, I would just write through the night. And that was my happiest. I would just stay up all night and write until I was exhausted. And then I would go to sleep and I'd wake up when I woke up and I was so happy. But even to myself, I was like, oh, you're so lazy. You're so slack. You sleep in till 9. That's disgusting. You should be productive now. And looking back at it, I'm like, what was I kicking my own ass for? Like, you were working for 12 hours of the day. They were just a different 12 hours to everyone else. Or you wrote for 5 hours, but you wrote 5,000 words, and that's incredible. And I can say it to someone else. I can totally sit down and tell someone else that what they're doing is fantastic and acceptable. But it was really hard for me to believe it of myself. And even now, especially at the moment, because my husband is working from home, and he tries to keep a very 9-to-5 schedule, so like maybe 10 till 6 or whatever, but like he keeps a daytime schedule and then his evening's free. So when he's home working, if I'm not at my desk, even if I'm just sat there, like I'm like, oh, let's maybe check out Twitter and then Instagram and then Twitter and then Instagram, maybe Facebook, maybe Twitter, maybe Instagram. Like I feel like I'm slacking off. Even though I've been doing this for 10 years, it's really hard to take yourself back to the point where you're like, do you know what? It's okay. The way you do the thing you do is okay. You're allowed to. You're not in trouble. And it's still really difficult.
That's such a good point. So it's basically like your habits so far are give yourself a break.
Yes.
Actually acclimatize to whatever it might be that you're having to acclimatize to, but also acknowledge what you are doing as well, and just yes. Be gentle.
100% give yourself credit. And I've been in therapy on and off now for the best part of 8 years, I would say. And it took me a really long time to realize also, it took me a really long time to accept that therapy would be a useful thing for me. Because again, it was something that wasn't done. So I didn't think it was right. And I just thought I was being sulky and stupid. And then when I started going, I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. It's changed my life. But one of the biggest things I get out of therapy that I get every time I go back is just someone saying, can you just be nicer to yourself? Like, would you say this to someone else? Or if someone said this to you, how would you react? And it's, I need that reminder daily. Like I need that reminder all the time. And it's been that's been the biggest thing I've ever learned from therapy, is maybe just be a little bit kinder to yourself and acknowledge your success and your achievement. And even if that success and achievement is getting dressed, like honestly, for some people, that's enough some days. That's a lot. Maybe your achievement was taking that package back to the post office, because for some people, it's really hard to take things back to the post office. Maybe that achievement was making a phone call you didn't want to make, or maybe it was writing 5,000 words of a novel, or maybe it was telling your friend a really funny joke that made your friend happy. But like, acknowledge the thing that you did that was a good thing. Don't just beat yourself up about the perceived bad things.
Mm-hmm. In terms of productivity and actually getting those 15/16/19 books out,
yep.
Is there, I just didn't mean to talk more about that.
I mean, I didn't do it overnight. It's been 10 years, but yeah, thank you.
No, I know.
See, I just did it then. Just reduced your compliment, because that's what I think. That's my thing that I do. Carry on.
You're so lucky you're on the other side of the world, Kel. I'd be shaking you. I wonder if there is a particular, when you look back at what you have done, would you isolate a particular good habit, or in terms of actually getting down and writing, is there one thing that you think you settled upon, you figured out, that has made the biggest difference and is why you were able to produce those books?
Honestly, I've been trying to track whatever it is since I started doing it, because every single time I start doing it, I am convinced I can't do it again and I don't know how. One of the things, this sounds so small, but what I've learned is, it sounds small to me, but it might be the thing that helps other people. One of the things is my physical location while I'm writing, and I don't write well at a desk.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
For whatever reason, I do not write well sat at a desk in a proper chair, you know, with correct posture, which is why I have a bad back. But when I get like a flow and I get to write thousands of words at a time, it never happens at my desk. it always happens like on the sofa, or I'll be sat on the bed. I can't tell you why. I have no idea. I'm sure psychologists would have a theory, like maybe I relate my desk to my old job that I didn't enjoy. I don't know. Maybe it's because when I wrote my first book, I mostly wrote it at home on my sofa. But I cannot tell you. There are thousands of theories. But for the most part, I really struggle to write creatively at a desk. I can edit, I can do emails, I can do admin, I can do all that stuff. But I have to actually physically write in a really comfy, snuggly spot. That's one thing that when I'm struggling, I will just take a second and be like, wait, where do I physically want to be? Like where in the apartment or house or whatever, like where do I physically want to be right now? Will it change? And it often does. So that's helpful.
That's interesting. Yeah, is there anything, is there any kind of behavior that you think, oh, I'm doing this and this is going to sabotage me creatively or productively?
The main thing for me, which is controversial and not a real thing right now, is leaving the house. Because I will find reasons to do anything other than the thing I'm supposed to be doing. And you can find reasons while you're at your computer, obviously, again, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and I have to do it. I'll be like, I have to do it. It's part of my job. It's the more important part of the job is writing the book, or there's nothing to tweet about. But if I'm at my computer not working, I feel terrible. If I can find a reason to leave the room or the house, then I feel like it's perfectly acceptable. So it's like, you know what? Maybe I do need to go to Target and buy that one thing that I deeply don't need, but will definitely take me 2 hours to leave the house, go to Target, have a mooch around, probably grab a coffee. Oh, maybe stop in Joann Fabrics on the way back. They've got a 50% off sale on craft materials when I don't craft, but it's something I might like to do. You know, it's like, it's that. Even going to the gym sometimes, and I try really hard to go to the gym because I know it's ultimately it's good for my mental health. But there are days when I know just getting up, leaving, going to the gym, coming back, showering, getting settled again, that's a could be a 3-hour chunk out of my being settled. And it's the settling into getting the work done that is the hardest part for me. Like I said, just accepting that I'm going to be sat in this one place staring at a laptop for time. So yeah, just leaving, just any excuse to leave is the worst. The best thing I can do is, like, this is a weird one as well, but I'll put on a movie that I know really well and just leave that on in the background. And that's quite a good time. It's almost like having a little egg timer. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I worked for the whole of Twilight. Look at me. And I'm, that helps. That weirdly helps. Because I don't find, strange enough, Twilight or like the Star Wars movies or the Harry Potter movies or something like that, I don't find them distracting. They're just on in the background. Like, I guess it sounds like co-workers. I work with Edward and Bella quite frequently. But I find that helpful. It's just time is passing a way that I can acknowledge it, but it doesn't distract me. I need something to keep me in my seat.
I do that with movies to get to sleep. Exactly, yes. The same thing.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
And I know it, therefore I don't have to pay attention to it. And sure enough, you can bet I'm asleep within 5 minutes.
Yeah, same. If I'm on my own, I absolutely have to listen to something. I used to listen to American Dad a lot before I went to bed, which is such a weird choice. And I think probably explains a lot about me. But it's an oddly non-soothing animated comedy. And yet it was the thing that put me to sleep every single time. Every single time.
There are no wrong answers.
There are no wrong. That's the world we're living in. There are no wrong answers. That's true. There are
no wrong answers. So I guess to finish, I would be really interested to understand, because you did talk at the beginning about how you actually, instead of burning the candle at both ends, you did take a while to ease in and you did prioritize the right word? Like actually living a bit of life?
Yeah. Do you know what? It probably is. I want to say it is not the right word, which means it probably is. Because I want to downplay anything that's not just working really hard. But it was really important, I think, that I never went traveling. I never took any time off. I didn't really take holidays, and taking a couple of months to just, and I was working, but I was not, working was not my sole focus.
It's a different pace.
Yes.
So now, having settled into this and obviously having some sort of rhythm and producing probably what, a book a year, two books a year on average, are you, in terms of like the work-life balance, in terms of this is my work time and this is my social time, lifetime, whatever you want to call it, how do you compartmentalize? Because as you say, your book is in your brain before it's on your computer. Yeah. And your workspace is where you live as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not great at it. That's the truth. And moving in with my partner made it even more difficult, because then you're not just worrying about your schedule and your work-life balance. You have to take into account someone else's schedule and someone else's work-life balance. And when you work from home, especially doing a job like this, it can be quite selfish. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I'm like, creating anything is traditionally quite a selfish endeavor, because it means I need to put the project first to make it the best it can be. Like, I can't just put out a book that's rubbish because I was too busy worrying about, this is going to sound terrible, but I'm like, I didn't really worry about having dinner with Jeff or making dinner because it was my night to make dinner because I wanted to write this chapter. And to me on that day, that chapter was more important. And again, I mean, I'm not going to start on misogyny and the arts, but I could, because no one ever calls a man selfish because he missed dinner because he wanted to write a chapter of his book. That's just, he's an artist. But if a woman wants to miss dinner because she's got to write a chapter of a book, she's selfish. But that's a different talk for another day.
Lindsay, do you ever wonder if you'd get there faster if you were a man?
You know, it has crossed my mind. I've forgotten all the words, but yeah.
I know, me too.
I would be like Leo in Saint-Tropez.
In Saint-Tropez.
Yeah, if I were the man.
It's a perfect song.
It's a perfect song. I love it. I actually just wrote a rousing supporting chapter about Taylor Swift in my new book that I know my editor's going to want to cut, because she's like, can you stop writing about Taylor Swift? I'm like, not really, no. But it was a rousing defense of Taylor Swift on behalf of my heroine in my new book, which I'm really excited about, that you'll be able to read next year. been on my own in the house quite a lot lately, lads.
I sent you a message. In fact, I'm going to pull it up because I think it's worth it. I sent you a message the other day because I had seen a person, I had seen somebody say negative things about Taylor Swift. And so I messaged you and I wrote, Lindsay, I've heard some people saying that Taylor Swift is actually the worst and now I'm really scared. And you wrote back, look, I know things are serious right now, but this is no time for blasphemy.
I mean, I just take my appreciation of Taylor Swift really seriously. I think she's an incredibly talented person. She is a woman who writes incredibly catchy pop songs that are enjoyable on a very easy surface level. You can just enjoy Taylor Swift. If you hear her on the radio, it's a catchy pop song. No denying that. You can then listen to the lyrics, and the lyrics are so universally relatable to the point where I routinely will just stop what I'm doing and be like, oh my God, I know exactly what she's saying this very second. And yet they are drawn from such personal experience. I think it is an unparalleled talent in the current musical sphere, quite frankly. And I will defend her till I die. I get very angry when people are like, oh, she's just shit pop music and like adults shouldn't like her. I'm like, she's an adult. She's making great music. Shut up, basically. That's basically where I'm at. I mean, you know.
So how much has Taylor helped you write all of your books?
Do you know what? I frequently have said this to many people, that if I could ever write anything that makes anyone feel a fraction of the way I feel when I listen to the album Red, but primarily All Too Well, then honestly, I will have done my job, because I don't know a song. And this is the thing, people are like, oh, you just like Taylor Swift. I love music. I love all kinds of music. I've been a massive gig goer in my life, been a massive whiny indie fangirl that obsessively only liked a very narrow selection of bands and thought I was the coolest because of that. I lived in Williamsburg in the late 2000s and thought I was the coolest girl in the world because I went to gigs every night. We cannot count the number of times I've seen The National, because it's unhealthy. And yet I still genuinely believe that All Too Well is the most affecting song that I've ever heard. And I cannot hear it without having to stop what I'm doing and listen to it all the way through and go on that journey all the way through that song until you come out the other end and know she's okay. Because it's not her, it's you. It's like we've all been on that relationship and on that journey. And if I can write a book that makes anybody feel like, oh my God, this is me. I've done this. And obviously not specifically this, but the emotional this. And if I can take anyone on that journey and bring them out the other end, then I have done my job.
Have you seen her perform All Too Well on the NPR Tiny Desk concert?
I have. And I cried like a small child. And I saw her do it live when we went to the 1989 tour, and I cried then as well. And Jeff had just started going out with me, and Jeff was like, oh, what have I done? but now Jeff is a huge fan, and I consider that one of my greatest successes.
And went on to marry you. Also, perhaps probably your fondest memory of All Too Well is when we were driving back from Palm Springs and sang it like lunatics at the top of our voice in your car.
The finest version, I think, this side of Nashville is what I'm going
into my memory.
Me too. Worryingly, me too. But yeah, but it's a great unifier, and that's when music is great and when art is great. That's what art is, isn't it? That we connect to it and it helps us see something of ourselves and make sense of our lives in a way that we hadn't previously. And without wanting to sound massively wanky, that's what I do. I write books that tell stories that help me make sense of my life, help people make sense of their life, even if it's just like lolls on a sun lounger on their holiday. They're getting something out of it, and that's amazing. And Taylor Swift can be listen to it while your parent is sick in hospital and it carries you through that rough 10 minutes, or it can be driving back from Palm Springs with your mate and having a laugh. Like I think it's incredible when people can create things that give us that.
I knew you were going to say wonderful things. I didn't know we were going to linger this long on Taylor Swift.
I made a list of things I've watched on Netflix because I didn't know what we were going to talk about. Look at us.
Oh, no, share. Tell me.
Tiger King. I mean, come on, let's
see. Because I started it last night.
Yes. How are you getting on?
I don't know why I'm telling you as if I haven't already told you. I've texted
you. No, I know. But that's because we text each other most things. But I think that's fine. No, that is just one tip that I got from my therapist that I think is really important. And it's a relationship tip, but also a work tip. Because it's a productivity tip and as a health tip. Was that I was like, I'm really worried about spending all this time on my own in my house with my partner, whom I love. And I was like, the main thing we argue about is what to watch on telly. And the main thing I get mad at myself about is what to watch on telly, because I'm like, there's so much choice now. Mm-hmm. So we made a list of like things to watch. It sounds so simple, but it means we don't sit down and spend 45 minutes scrolling through Netflix because we know we've got something on our list. And we like made a list of directors that we wanted to watch all their films. So it's like, oh, is tonight going to be a Michael Mann night or a David Fincher night? Or is it going to be a classic Disney night? And it just narrows down your choices, and it minimizes potential conflict, which is rife. And we've now started Succession because we needed to mix up the movies with a TV show.
So I've heard that's Succession. Incredible.
It's really good. You would really, really like it. It's really, really good. It's really soapy, but really smart. And I like it a lot.
It's on my list.
After Tiger King, which I insist you watch all the way through.
Well, obviously I'll text you in like 3 hours and tell you that I've watched 3 and 4, and we will establish.
Wild, man. It's wild.
I know. I can't believe I'm this late to the party. Lindsay, thank you so much. I'm going to put the links to all of your books, currently 18 are on sale. 19th on the way. In the show notes, I will also put the links to your social media, Tights and Fights for coverage, your Facebook group, which is an excellent place to hang out. I'm often in there nosying around.
It's a fabulous place to have a look.
Yeah.
No, it's a great place to loiter because you find out all kinds of exciting things about beauty and what people are actually using and what's actually good. I find that really interesting.
I like waiting for Corey's posts.
Corey is a star. Corey, if you're listening to this, every day I'm like, oh, look at that. It gives me a lot of inspiration. Reminds me a lot of Terry Barber.
Ooh, but he'll like that.
Yeah, but do you not think how he'll take his inspiration from something that's not necessarily beauty related and translate it into something really stunning and original? Love how he does that.
Yes. So it's a good Facebook group. So I'll put all the links to everything, and you can remind me if I've forgotten anything. I'm sure there's something else that you do that
cats.
I haven't mentioned.
Just cats. It's mostly cats.
Belle's asleep behind you.
She is asleep behind me. Yeah.
Okay.
Just very selfish. Didn't want to be part of it today.
No. I'm going to end the call and then I'll ask you about Anderson.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining me. I will, and you're welcome on the show anytime, obviously.
Oh, thank you so much. I was going to say I'll try not to talk about Taylor Swift so much, but that's a promise I can't keep. So I look forward to the next one.
I would delete your number if you ever said that to me.
That's
I have no
correct.
Use for it anymore.
That's the right answer.
Thank you so much for listening to that episode of The Emma Gunn Show. I do hope you enjoyed it. I appreciate your time hugely. If you did enjoy it and you never want to miss an episode, then please do hit the subscribe button wherever it is that you are streaming and downloading this episode. It's also where you get the opportunity to leave a 5-star review and a rating for how you feel about the show. And I'd be so grateful if you wouldn't mind leaving one. If you want to get in touch with me, email me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. Or you can DM me on Instagram and Twitter, where I am at Emma Gunns. If you fancy chatting to me and thousands of other fellow listeners of the podcast, then click the link to join the Facebook forum. The link to join is in the show notes, which can be found wherever it is that you are streaming and downloading this episode. You have to answer a couple of questions, but we cannot wait to see you there. Come over and join the conversation. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you on the next one.
One-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.